Oh, no, I thought there were, my understanding was is that there were going to be a number of people from the public here under persons to be heard to talk about preparations, you know, community preparation or readiness for active shooter. And I don't see a large number of people. So the chief can go anytime he wants.
So let's move that up to the next one, if we could.
213C.
Which one? The what?
That 13G.
Will now be 13C.
Perhaps we should just do the agenda.
I know.
13B
is now.
13B? A, B, C. Oh, sorry, A, B, C. Yeah, so 13G is now C.
I hear F is the new H.
Guys will just have to keep me straight.
Me too. We're getting way out there.
I'm fairly confused.
I'm better down here. I'll keep me on track.
We'll make it through.
Get it done.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Is that all? Hopefully.
Hope so.
Conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any agenda item? Consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Poll, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Prasunka?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 7, Borough Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I don't have much to add to the report tonight, although one thing I will say that I left off is that on the 16th we held the auction for the Shoemaker Bay Harbor floats and actually raised $18,900 out of the sale of those floats, and that's real money we can use. So
at AML there was one person that was there that mentioned that they had purchased some of them and going to use them for floating breakwater.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. That's great. So that, we were very excited by that response.
And we sold all of them?
All of them that were available for sale were sold.
And they don't have to remove them right now, but there is a time certain where they have to remove them?
That's correct. I believe they're going to be notified approximately 30 days in advance of when the contractor will have them ready to be picked up, and they are obligated to do that. And I 10% down was required, so all persons that bid on and were successful put 10% down. And I think I was going to say even one person paid in full for all of their floats already.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting, right? So I wanted to thank the members of the assembly and the members of the hospital board and staff and public that were here last night to participate in our discussions about the community health care solution, and we'll be moving forward with those items and bringing stuff forward at the 13th. I think everything else here is fairly self-explanatory. The only one other thing that I have to add is that we'll be leaving on the afternoon jet on Thursday. I'll be out of town for just over a week, but I will be working the entire time that I'm gone. I'll have access to email, and I have a new phone number. So I'll still have my same phone number, but I have an additional work number that I've activated. So I will get all that contact information out to you guys, and you can get a hold of me. So.
My understanding is you attended the last hospital board meeting.
I did.
Yeah. Can you, in our discussions, and then last night you asked for the CFO to explain what was going on. From your understanding, are we going to be requested to put out more funds? What kind of notice are we looking at receiving on that? What have we set up with them? We know there's still $250,000 left remaining in their line of credit. Is that going to be projected that that's going to be exceeded?
So there was no mention of asking the borough for additional money from the line of credit or beyond that right now. What was said is that the hospital is operating at a loss, not only based on the annual budget, but the monthly budget as well. And the CFO was very clear at the meeting in speaking to the board that this trend is unsustainable. In fact, Robert forwarded me an email the other day that shows that the hospital has not actually had a profit since 2013. It's been 6 years since they have broken even or made money, essentially. And so the CFO said that this was unsustainable and that it would not be very much longer before either one of two things would have to happen. A, the borough would have to start providing cash infusions to the hospital to be able to make operations sustainable, or that we would have to do what we are doing right now, which is look at a third-party partnership. And I asked the question, is there a time frame we're looking at before we're at, you know, before we get to a point where more money has to be put in? What's the breaking point? And I don't have an answer to that yet. And I'm not sure there necessarily is an exact time. It really depends on a number of factors: how many people walk through the door, what the procedures are, what the reimbursement rate is with regard to those things. There are so many factors out there that play on that. But the fact of the matter is that the hospital is not in good shape financially.
Do you have a sense of what the cost-saving measures that have been implemented? Do you know what those are?
I know that some have been implemented. What those are, I don't know, but I can certainly report back to you on that. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep.
Maybe, I don't know if this is the place you can stop me if I... But I've had people ask me, are we looking at partnership or actual takeover of the hospital? Is that something we can answer right now, or is that in discussions later?
I would say that we are not going into this with any predetermined... Okay. We have to attack this from a completely objective point of view. Does Search, who we're getting ready to go into negotiations with, have an idea of what they believe is going to work in this community? Absolutely they do. And I think no matter what the ultimate outcome is, we have to go through the due diligence of going through the process and looking at options, I guess.
Okay. I just want to go back to the money thing again for a minute. I would really like you to strongly encourage the hospital that they need to give us as much advance notice as possible, that we need to set up some canaries in this mine, and if the canaries are starting to peel over, we need to be notified immediately.
Okay.
We are ultimately the stakeholder in this hospital. We ultimately have to make it whole. We have employees up there that are dependent upon these checks.
Of course.
And I was not pleased with how the last time the request came in. I understand there may have been extenuating circumstances, but we have a CFO who should be monitoring this daily to determine where we're at, and the CEO needs to be communicating on an ongoing basis so that we are well aware as an assembly. And if we look like we're bumping up to the 500,000, we need to have an emergency meeting with Member Eric Gilbert.
I totally agree, and I don't know what the drop dead measure is. I mean, is it 13 days operating cash just scares the daylights out of me. And one of the things I really do want to know is what cost saving measures have been implemented. I mean, it should be emergency conditions.
I'll find out.
Okay.
Thank you.
But I agree with Assembly Member Przonka.
I'll try to get more information on the financial stuff. But as you heard last night, 25 days of cash on hand, but 9 of those represent the $250,000 draw that they have from the borough. So.
And they've already drawn $250,000, so
correct.
In essence they have that as a liability back to the borough.
That's correct.
Right. That's not much of a cushion, because as I understand, every 2 weeks, is it $135,000 is their payroll? I may be
surprised if it's that little.
That seems to be rattling in my head, but maybe it's a weekly.
I'm curious that I don't want our good employees at the hospital to be worried about this, that we need to build that confidence that we're, you know, we're standing behind the hospital and we're here for the hospital, but we really just need that notice.
Okay. You have anything further?
I don't believe so, no.
Yes. Could you please, for the community's sake, an AFN update, I think would be beneficial for community members?
During my recent trip to Juneau to attend Southeast Conference and have meetings with different department staff and members of the legislature, Assemblymember Decker and I attended the AFN board meeting that was taking place in Juneau at the same time. And at the last assembly meeting, the assembly approved a letter supporting the ANSEP concept school here in Wrangell. And it was really a good thing that we were able to listen to the discussion and actually had the opportunity to comment a little bit as well. The major concerns, mostly coming from the interior delegations, I would say, are the idea that there are a number of schools that are on the bubble, meaning that they, you know, a loss of one student here or there would mean closure, and schools are an anchor in those communities. And, you know, if a school closes, then it's just not a good thing for the village or for the community. And it forces the rest of those students to have to seek education either by distance delivery or those families to have to vacate the village and go someplace else. The other major concern was if there are enough students left in the district to keep the school open, if a student were to leave and go to another boarding school opportunity, then their base student allocation would go with them. And that would mean a loss of revenue to the school district, even if it didn't mean closure. And there was concern about that. I was very clear in stating to the members of the board that we shared their concerns, that we recognize that these are statewide issues that have to be addressed, and that their support was being requested so that the next level of exploration could be done here, because there's a whole series of due diligence elements that need to be looked at in order to determine whether or not this is sustainable for Wrangell, this is something that's sustainable for our community, and something that is sustainable for statewide education. It has to pass the red face test on two levels. And I said that if support was given, that due diligence would need to be done. We would need to determine whose responsibility it is to do that due diligence, and we would be reporting back to AFN to let them know what we have discovered. And so what they have done is they tabled the resolution again, because AFN as a rule does not support things that are location-based as a rule. They support things that are more broad state-based, that are beneficial for the entire Native population. And although they absolutely agreed that having the best education opportunities for all of their students, no matter where that education opportunity might be, was a good thing for everyone, and that the ANSEP model, if that is what's instituted, is also an extremely important thing for their students to be able to take advantage of, they were not dead set on passing a resolution that specified Wrangell as the location. And so they've asked for the resolution to be rewritten, and working with Tlingit Haida Central Council, and actually bringing WCA in to work on that as well, is something that needs to be done. So this effort has been tabled until the May AFN board meeting. So we've got some work to do between now and then. And obviously that will have to come back. Whatever resolution gets rewritten will have to come back before the assembly for approval. We'll need to go before the WCA board, likely would need to go before the school board. They need to be included in this mix. I'm sorry if I didn't say that earlier, as does Tlingit Haida Central Council, since they were the ones that asked for it to be put back on the agenda at the AFN meeting.
So now, are you talking about the resolution that the city passed in September of... Because that's a very poorly written resolution.
So it would be a brand new resolution.
Okay.
That's being written.
And I would like us to consider, and while we're talking about it, that we take it out of the oversight of the Wrangell School Board and put it into the oversight and promote this of the Alaska State School Board. And I would like it to be a structure like Mount Edgecombe is, where the state has a line item in their budget that supports the boarding school. And then the student base allocation can support the other half of the boarding school. Because the way it's written now, it'll become Wrangell's responsibility, and we can't sustain it. I don't care what kind of endowment fund, it better be a multi-million dollar endowment fund if that's the case. So we have to get the tax liability off the backs of Wrangell. I support the school. It's a great school. Mount Edgecombe is a top school. But I think the it has to be restructured. And at the Institute, property would be just great.
I think that the resolution that we're going to bring forward to you is going to be far more generic than that, and is actually only going to seek support from AFN for us to do just the kind of investigation you're talking about,
okay,
but on all
that's
facets.
Right.
The model of the school, how the funding would be, all sorts of different things.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we're getting a little bit off the track here on the agenda.
Okay.
That can be brought up on another agenda at some time to just get into further discussion on that.
I do. You state in your report, you said on the Wrangell Junkyard cleanup, we were bumping up to our April 1st start date,
yes,
with a drop dead date for March 3rd, was it? Or 1st?
April 1st.
April 1st is the drop dead date? That's the start date.
So that's the start date. March 1st is the drop dead date.
Okay.
For the
and then we said here, more discussion on this matter will happen at the assembly meeting. I don't see it as a regular agenda item.
No, it's not. I apologize. I need to give you an update on that. So I met with ADEC when I was in Juneau to talk specifically about the Byford Junkyard and the letter, of course, that the assembly approved at the last meeting. And the staff with ADEC was very clear in supporting the memo that they sent following their more recent visit here, stating that for a number of reasons, most of which included the prevalence of groundwater, surface water, or slope, stability, or size of an area, that the that none of the other locations they looked at would be suitable. When I got back from Juneau, I had the opportunity to meet with the WCA staff, and we talked about a number of different issues to outline in a couple of different emails to ADEC, and I am so far behind the eight ball on getting that stuff done. That needs to go out tomorrow. So I am horrifically behind on that, so I apologize that I didn't bring that up earlier. But those ADEC knows that that information is coming. I have to draft that stuff and get Esther to review it to make sure that WCA is good with that, and then that's got to go out. But Sally is waiting for that information.
Okay, so I have, here's my concern. We gave this a pretty good shot to see if we could convince some power to take this stuff away and send it south and make it, put it in somebody else's yard. We looked around the island, they come back and said, there's nothing around the island. At what point are we, because my fear here is that the bus is leaving the station.
Soon.
2 days.
Right.
This is a done deal. So what are they going to phone us up and say, we're going forward, we're telling our guy we're a go, and Mr. Woodbury starts getting his equipment warmed up? Or is it, we're waiting for these memos now?
Sally is, she knows that that stuff is coming, and there are there's a couple of different aspects to those memos that are coming. One is still looking at postponement a little bit, and the other one is things that are minimum expectations if the decision to go forward takes place.
And the WCA has signed on to that concept?
So we had a... their position, WCA's position has not changed at all. They maintain the same concern over the location out at the Pat's Creek Pit that they have always had. However, if DEC makes the decision to move forward, there are some things that potentially could be put in place. But no, WCA's position has absolutely not changed.
Okay. I really want this to stay top of mind and a regular update at every assembly meeting. I think this is something that could really come back to hurt us, and I want to be careful because we could wind up with a big pile of this stuff sitting in a residential area. You know, I'm not thrilled about where we decided. They decided to stick it, but by the same point, we don't have $13 million to deal with this ourselves.
No.
And we're kind of...
And I think everybody recognizes that.
Okay.
I do believe everybody recognizes that. Whether... whether alternatives are still being sought or not, the realization is that something has to be done, and that the borough, absolutely, the community doesn't have the money to take care of it.
I just always, when I see a drop-dead date, then to me, that's a point where we have to move on, and we have to move on. You know, we've tried everything.
I will get a KYP out to you guys in the next day or two so you know what's going on.
Thank you.
Yep.
That's it for me, Mr. Mayor.
Well, I was just going to add, it's time sensitive.
It is.
For the state, too, because of the filament. It has a deterioration rate. The liner, and I forget how much more time we have with that.
It's August.
August, okay.
Thank you for bringing that up.
No problem.
You have anything for me?
I do not.
Thank you. Borough Clerk.
Other than what's in my report, it's in my report, but I just wanted to tell the Assembly verbally as well as the public that the Wrangell Medical Center boards are now going to be held here in the Assembly Chambers. So that's the third Wednesday of each month, and that'll be at 5:30, and that's going to be beginning in March.
I found your little tidbit on Robert's Rules incredibly fascinating,
mm-hmm.
and I hope we live to that moving forward. I did not know that, and
I'll keep you on track.
Keep us on track, because that actually is a huge time saver,
mm-hmm.
and I had no idea that was part of Robert's Rules.
Yep.
I thought I had read Robert's Rules, but obviously I didn't pay attention to that.
Thank you for reading it.
Oh, if you make a so if there's an item up and you make a motion and it is, I should probably be answering the
right. So
Ricky Robert's Rules right now.
So Robert's Rules says that if you make a motion, you can't make the motion and then speak against your motion. So and the I've had a lot of people say, well, why not? I just want to get it on the floor. Well, why waste the time? If you're not in favor of the motion, don't make the motion. So, and there's a lot more to it, but that's kind of in a nutshell.
Thank you.
Have any big words?
No.
Thank you. Item 9, Mayor and Assembly Business. Does any Assembly member have anything?
Oh, IFA just had their 800,000th passenger, and that's a remarkable feat, and they are operating in the black.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
Maybe they ought to be operating the state ferry system.
Yeah, it's been suggested.
Mr. Mayor, I attended the SEPA board meeting. Lisa and Lee and Clay Hammer, and that was a good meeting. It was in Ketchikan, and I think we're doing well. I don't know if we'll see the same ultimate rebate that we received this past year, but we can hope. Our water is holding up, and we're moving forward with our maintenance projects. Of note, Mr. Hammer has resigned from the SEPA board because he has taken a position replacing Mr. Henson is leaving, and Mr. Hammer will be taking over for him. So I know everybody was aware of that. So that's sad for us in SEPA from a board level, but great for SEPA from a staff level. So it's sort of a shift. But I told Clay or Trey he's to stop coaching our staff. That's not going to be allowed any longer. And I also attended with Mayor Jack. We went up and attended the Municipal League. I will say it was interesting, but I don't know for me personally moving forward if I would recommend that I wouldn't go do it again. We just had Lisa and Julie there literally a week before. They went and met with our representatives, and there's Mayor Jack and I sitting in the office with the representatives.